Yo, what up? Good morning. It's your girl Kilowatt. I am currently at Overlook Park in Oregon City. And I'm so reeling right now. Oh my God. I don't know what the fuck to do. I am so fucking Twitter pated. It's stupid. So I have like a backstory, okay? This guy David and I, this is all, we're going from the beginning. Okay, this guy David and I have a history together, and it goes all the way back to when I was married. And my husband and I separated. I met David, we ended up dating, and then my husband found out and got really fucking jealous and decided he wanted me back. I got back with David. I ended up cheating on Brent with David. It was total shit show, and I completely regret it. But needless to say, there's a lot of history there. David and I kept going back and forth for a number of years until he met Jamie, which is his current girlfriend, until a couple days ago. And he messaged me and said, "Hey, I hope you're doing okay. I just wanted to let you know that me and Jamie are broken up now, and I would really like to see you." And for a moment, I was like, "Oh my God, this is so cool. This is so great. I'm so excited." Because I've like, whenever things don't work out because of circumstance and timing, like there's a part of you that's like super excited to see how that plays out, right? But I also remembered something recently because of all of this. When David and I were first together, he would do this shit where he would fucking blow me off. And that is so, I'm sorry, but that is my biggest fucking like trigger, because I have no time as it is as a person, yet alone a mother and a daughter trying to take care of her mother with Alzheimer's. So if I set time aside for you, you need to fucking utilize that. Like, it's not something that comes by easily. And I would set aside time for him, and he would blow me off or not show up. And I thought he had done that because he was afraid I was going to go back to Brent. But I just began to get more and more irritated with that factor. And I really weighed like the pros and cons, and I recognized like maybe I am being swayed by David's presence. Like maybe I should really step back and recognize that I've been in a partnership for a long time, and I should put my focus back on my family and just completely forget about David, which is what I actually did. I went in full force. And when I realized it was just going to be the same shit, I realized I had gone back, and I realized everything was basically going to stay the same. The day that I realized, I remember just fucking bawling, because I had so much regret and frustration and resentment over the fact that I compromised my living situation, a whole nother relationship that I was interested in finding out what that was about. But I gave that up because I did love Brent. I still love Brent. Brent's a good person. He's a wonderful dad. And so at the time, I was really conflicted, you know, and I ended up going through like a little bit of a flashback the other day. So when David messaged me and said he wanted to come see me, we set time aside for the next day. And then he messaged me. I messaged him actually, because it was getting late. And I was like, "Hey, how's your day going?" You know, just to check in and see what was up, because sometimes he sucks at communicating. And I was like, well, maybe he just needs me to check in, and maybe he's getting ready to come over. And he literally said, "Oh, I think I'm gonna call it a night. It was a long day." And I was like, okay. So that's like red flag, okay? Because I'm already starting to get flashbacks of what happened last time. And I was like, okay, that's just a moment. I'm gonna let that one go, because I knew he had his twins this weekend. And then I ended up getting another date set up with him for the following night. He's like, "Let's just do it tomorrow night. We'll get together tomorrow night. I'll come to the camp out. It'll be fine." I said, "Okay." Dude never fucking, like, he made a comment about how it was gonna be a long night after I referenced how long it took me to set the tent up, and then nothing. And then the next morning, he messaged me and said, "Hey, how was the camp out?" I said, "It was a lot of work. I put the tent up by myself, and it just took me forever, and then I took it down by myself. It was just a lot of effort, and I'm fucking exhausted." And I was waiting for him to write me back. Nothing. Just fucking crickets. And I realized, yo, you're fucking waiting for some dude to fucking show up who's been in and out of your life for 5 years and was fucking wishy-washy and flaky from jump. What the fuck are you doing? I was like, whoa, wait. I think I over-idealized this way too much, and I need to step back. And so I really was like, kind of like, fuck, dude, like, I don't know. And I stayed up late kind of in thought about it, because I was really kind of, I don't know. I think in the back of your mind for a long time, if you think about that person and you wonder, like, what it would have been like if you had actually both had that right opportunity to be together. Well, the opportunity has presented itself, and dude didn't act at all. I don't appreciate being stood up, and I don't like the lack of communication, and I'm not willing to waste any more time on this, because what I thought was there clearly isn't, and I'm not interested in finding out how much more time he's willing to waste of mine, because I honestly really do enjoy being single. And I think that's the beauty of being single for a long time and recognizing, like, I don't really fucking need anybody. I'm okay. Like, I'm set. I'm good. I'll just be over here, like, doing my shit. Thanks. And, I got a message from this guy named Brandon, who is friends with some mutual friends of mine. And I had just seen him, like, I remember I'd seen him on, People You May Know. And, like, occasionally I'll add people that look interesting. I'll be like, oh, wow, that, like, even girls. I'll be like, oh, you look cool, you know. But I rarely add dudes, because it kind of feels like, I don't know, it just feels, like, creepy. And so when he wrote me, I forgot that I had added him for a minute. And he was like, hey, how do you know Nick and Angela? And I was like, oh, yeah, no, I don't think we've met through them, but I just thought you were cool. And he was like, I hope you're having a good morning. And I was like, dude, I just fucking slept in. I literally just slept in past like 5 alarms. I'm already late. My ex and I just got over our last tiff, and like, we're finally getting on good ground again. And I just fucked up. Like, I'm so fucking mad at myself. So that started the conversation, and we talked for like 13 fucking hours, and it's been like really cool. And I'm like, my friends are, because I remember the night that David messaged me, I wrote my sister, I wrote my brother. I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. David's in, David's back. It's happening. Oh, it's going down. And I was ready, like, to pursue something that I always wondered about, you know, that was cut short, that I didn't feel like I understood why. Like, I didn't get it. It just was, the timing was shit, and I wasn't willing to compromise my marriage any further for that. So I just let it go. And I always wondered. And so I shared that with my sister and like some of my best friends. And then of course, like the day after the camp out, everybody's wondering, because they hadn't heard from me. They're like, oh, how's David? How's this and that? And I was like, David's out, Brandon's in. They're like, what the fuck, dude? How does that work? I said, dude, I don't fucking know. This guy just showed up out of nowhere. And I was literally just, because the last guy I dated, Alan, who, by the way, like, coincidentally knows Brandon, and I didn't recognize that until after. Like, I literally suck at this. Like, I need to stop with the whole networking thing, because I know way too many fucking people. And so Alan was the last guy I dated, and he kind of fucking ghosted me. Like, he does this shit where he just stops talking, and I don't hear from him. And I'm like, okay, like, because I'm not gonna, honestly, I'm sorry, but I'm fucking awesome. And if you're not gonna take the time to just check in with me or say hi, then I'm not gonna fucking chase your ass down. I'm fine the way, like, I was fine before I met you. I'll be fine after you. And I'm okay. If you feel like you don't wanna pursue this anymore, then that's okay. You don't have to explain shit to me. Like, it would be nice. I consider it very rude if you blow me off and ghost me. Yeah. But at the same time, I don't really have any bad beef with Alan either. It just didn't take off. You know, it kind of fizzled out. Hold on just a sec. If you have anything to drink, feel free. I'm going to take a sip of my Dutch, which I need to quit drinking because I'm going on a diet. Hold on. Just a sec. Fuck, I have so much shit to do today. I have to go to the bank. I'm going to wrap this up, and then maybe I'll just start driving. No, that's not smart. I shouldn't do that. But yeah, we met, and I put together that he knew Alan, and I felt bad. We had been talking for like 6 hours at that point. And I was like, yo, I have to tell you that I think I dated Alan. Like, we went on like 2 overnight trips. We never slept together. Dude didn't have that much interest in me. And I was like, okay, like, I think I'm just pursuing something that's going to fizzle out anyway. And I'm not interested in putting more time on the line that's not going to pay out. Like, I just don't. It has to be, the juice has to be worth the squeeze. Does that make sense? So I'm not interested in going any further with that. And I explained, I was like, we don't have any bad beef. There was no, I don't have a problem with Alan. I think Alan's a good person. And I think, honestly, it just wasn't a match, and that's cool. I'm totally fine being fucking friends with Alan. And, I would like to see him do well. So there's nothing wrong there. And I just wanted to explain that to Brandon because it seemed like we were getting kind of Twitter-pated. And we're supposed to go out to dinner. I put him on this group. So I do like a, because of the whole Sam situation, I do like a really strict vetting process. Okay. And if I, I'm just going to turn my car on. Hold on. And if I feel, because Sam was really fucking crazy and abusive and I did not get on the background check, I didn't get anything back on his name, which is a big fucking letdown. Thank you, Been Verified. Because that's what the whole thing is for. That's what I pay a subscription for, so I can check and make sure, yo, the guy that you're about to go on a date with has 4 domestic violence charges or things like that. And I recognized, okay, well, the woman that he was with had dropped the charges, so he didn't actually get like DV charges. They were just like assault, you know, things like that. And he explained that away through drug use and blah, blah, blah. If I had access to this particular group, and I won't mention what it is, there is a group of women and we talk about, we'll post pictures of people and be like, hey, does anyone know this guy? Because I'm about to go on a date with him and I want to make sure that like, he's not a fucking psychopath. And I always usually post whoever I'm currently talking to on that particular group, just out of fucking curiosity. And mind you, you gotta take shit with a grain of salt, because there are butthurt exes out there. There are women that are interested in actually dating your dude. Like, they see a picture of a cute guy, they're like, oh, he's single? Oh, okay, cool. Like, it doesn't seem like they're anything serious, so I'll just slide into his DM. So you don't want to give his last name. You don't want to give any identifying information other than like first name, age, and then a picture. So you can say, does anyone know this guy? Like, i.e., is he in a current relationship, or is he like abusive or psychotic? And like, that particular group that I'm in is very successful, and it's done me a solid. I think one guy I was going to go on a date with, it turned out he was a huge sexual predator and really abusive. So I was grateful to get that information and I backed out of it. But it's stuff like that where it's just for your own personal safety. And so I felt like that was valid. I kind of mentioned that I did some background screening on him, but I don't think I really brought that up. I'll probably tell him later, but I don't want to compromise the anonymity of the group, because it is such a essential tool for the safety of women in our area. And I don't like the idea of that going away. I also don't like that concept of women who are trying to just remain safe being sued, you know. So that's where that comes into play. But when I posted it, like, the people that did know of him said very good things, that he was a really genuine person, really nice, and a good father. And these are things that I am looking for in a possible partner. And I was like, okay, cool. So like, no major red flags. Cause I mean, another thing is that if they're like a habitual cheater, you want to know that shit too, because you don't, we're literally old. We're like old bitches, like trying to get our fucking human. I'm trying to find my human, and I don't want to waste any more fucking time. I'm 38. I have had children. I want to find somebody that I want to share my life with and fucking throw down with. Like, it's almost wartime, so I need someone to run with me and make shit happen. Does that make sense? Because it's like, we're on the last leg of our life. I mean, I'm halfway through my life, and so I like to consider the rest of it being shared with another person, and I'm not trying to waste any more time, which is something different about when you're dating in your 20s versus when you're dating in your like late 30s. So
hopefully this is a good match. I'm excited. It seems like it is. And I've done our astrology and it's like probably the most intense chart I've ever seen. With regard to like faded aspects, like more so than me and Brent even, which is wild because me and Brent were like really tied. But that makes sense because we were together for 14 years and had a kid and we got married. So of course it's going to be intense faded ties. I think that was a faded union. I don't believe in like forever soulmates type deal. I think that you can have a lot of soulmates in this life. And I think that people can give you a lot of lessons. But it doesn't mean it has to be forever. I obviously hope for long term, but I'll enjoy it while it lasts, if that makes sense. So that's everything that's happened so far. Welcome to my things. I'm excited. Had some run-in with a little bit of drama last week with Bub. I promised him that I would not speak about him in the podcast as often or without his blessing, so I'm going to be respectful of that. But outside of that, just as a family unit, we're doing okay and we're hanging in there. Hopefully you guys are doing well. I'll probably get back on soon and finish up this segment because I wanted to talk about past relationships, lessons that partners bring you, and like things that you learn as you get older, you know, and how to be a better partner and how to be a stronger person as an individual, and then what that does for partnership. So I'll talk to you guys soon. Love you. Bye. So I was thinking we should do a podcast talking about relationships. Are you down?
Stop to record or what?
Yeah, for the podcast, for the pod.
Oh my. That means a lot of people will be listening to it.
A lot of people think you're cool.
Yeah, a lot of people think I'm complete an asshole.
Oh, whatever. Nobody thinks you're an asshole. I'll fight him.
I am the one that is the ass that I know that I'm the asshole.
Oh, no, you're not. You're the gem, man. You bring so much wisdom to my podcast. It's crazy. But I was talking to, who was I just talking to about this? It might have been you. Might have been Braylon. I told Braylon fucking everything. I really told her way more than I should. She was like sitting in the car and because I was texting Brandon. She's like, you're texting Brandon more than you talk to me. And I said, well, like right now, I literally tell you everything, Braylon.
And what
she's
did
like,
you say?
She's like, well, whatever. And I was like,
give me your blood for Christ's sake. You know?
She was so funny last night. She was like trying to snuggle and she couldn't get close enough. She was like trying to absorb herself. I was like, Braylon.
Back off, will ya?
Literally, you're so sweaty. So cute.
Did she start laughing?
She did. She's so funny.
She's got a sense of humor.
I said, dude, I wanted to climb back into my mom's stomach sometimes too.
Yeah,
this
really.
World could be fucking fierce.
Yeah, that's right. You know?
But I told her, I think I was telling her about, because she was talking about a kid that she likes at school. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, honey, you're going to have so many, you're going to have so many relationships. And like, I have so many stories that I want to share with this guy because he's so cool. And I'm like, I don't want to tell him about the BR thing, though. Mm-hmm. Do you know about the BR thing?
I'm not sure.
I'll refresh your memory. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my first boyfriend, his name was Brett.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, God. Mistake.
No, he wasn't a mistake. He was not a mistake. He didn't like you because you were rude to him, but
that's probably
why you don't like him.
I don't want people to tell me that I was being obnoxious when I was being obnoxious.
Yeah, I don't like it when people call me on my shit either.
Yeah, I don't want to laugh with that. No, I think we'll just forget about that shit.
You're so funny.
Walk away from him.
Anyway, yeah. So there was Brett.
Yeah.
And then my second boyfriend's name was Brett.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then I met Jake's dad, and I fell in love with him, and his name was Brad. And then after Brad and I moved out and I got my townhouse, I met Brad. And then shortly after Brad and I, B-squared, as I like to call him, after he and I broke up and I was about to come home, I went on a date with this guy named Brent. And when I got home, I met Brent at a wedding. I was like, dude, fuck is up with the BRs? I was like, am I just going to get on every fucking list of dudes? And then there were just two Davids, just like randomly Davids. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening? So the BR thing's prominent. So when he slid into my DMs and I had woken up that morning, I was thinking about that on my drive. And I was like, oh my God, if I fucking fall in love with this guy and he's got a BR name, I'm going to kill myself. Like, the pattern is crazy. Like, that's how you know you're a little crazy. Like, it has to be subconscious. Or maybe I'm a magnet for the BRs.
That's it, probably.
Probably. I don't know. Fuck, else. Dude, I don't know.
Yeah.
Were you a magnet for any particular letter?
No, not really.
I wondered about that. Like, if other people have that, like...
a specific
mental illness.
No, I have my own share of it.
Like, am I putting this shit out there? Am I doing this? Is this me? I think it might be me. I might be the problem. Am I the problem? I think I'm the problem.
I've never been a problem.
I don't think I'm the problem.
No, I am absolutely fantastic.
I wonder what the cats think about us just cackling at night.
Oh, God. They're probably...
I think they're used to it. Daisy's fucking over it.
I think Daisy's over it.
Daisy's fucking over it. Like, every time we get really into it and we start gabbing away, she stops and she'll start meowing at me and she'll start scratching at me, like, coming for me. Like, she's going to fucking take me out. And I got to get up and be like, Daisy, what the fuck, dude? Like, stop.
Yeah, she's had a rough time.
A few times.
Yeah, she's had a rough time.
But I was telling Berlin, I said, you're going to meet a lot of dudes in this. Like, you're going to fall in love so many times.
I know.
I remember my first boyfriend when I was 11, his name was Andy Gorski, and I thought he was the best. And then when I was 23 years old in a bar downtown Portland, I was in the bar with my best friend Sierra for her bachelorette night. Mm-hmm. It might have been, no, that's a way off timeline. Fuck, dude, when you get older, everything starts to blend together.
I know it does.
It was when I came home, so I think I must have been like 21.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I was 21 because it was right after I moved back from North Carolina.
Yep.
And I was in a bar and there was like, it was like a go-go dancing bar. So it was like where they put on a burlesque show. And we were out there for like a girls' night. And I think it was her bachelorette night because we were like hitting all these different clubs together, which was rare because I never did that. Mm-hmm. And I was in the bathroom and like this, it was like a seedy bathroom. Like, yeah. it was like every bar bathroom we've ever been to. Where, like, the floor is kind of wet. And you're, like, yes. Looking around. There's, like, paper towels everywhere. And you're, like, what is happening? Did they miss the toilet? Is that pee? I don't know. And so I'm sitting, like, hovering over the toilet because I don't want to sit on it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this bathroom stall. Yeah. I'm, like, dude, I'm going to fucking hover this because this is not.
God, you could get.
I'd rather pee in a fucking bush at this point. And so I'm, like, looking at the stall wall. And on top of it, it says Andy Gorski gives the best head. And I was, like, are they talking about, like, is he gay or is it? Because it was a female bathroom.
Yeah.
But it could have been somebody that was transgender. I didn't know what the story was, but I was, like, huh. But I saw his name on the bathroom wall, like, 13 years later after he gave me a daisy in a field once. And I sat there watching him play soccer, and I was like, we're going to get married.
Oh, God.
Remember when I was in love with Casey Clark or Jason Damian?
Yes.
The fucking list, man. I was, like, boy crazy.
Well, of course you were.
It's so cute, though. Like, watching her go through the same thing is sweet.
Uh-huh. Just as long as you give her some... guidance.
I do. Oh my God, I do.
I know.
She knows. I'm like, oh girl, no, we're not doing that. Just walk away. Do not entertain that boy. Like, my lesson to her 90% of the time is like, it's not worth it. Just walk away. She's like, yeah, and you're single. And I'm like, yeah, but I've also been divorced twice. So maybe take my fucking warning. Yeah. And it's funny because people don't realize, like, if you've been married twice before, I know they say that the chance for divorce goes up each divorce, you know, that you have. So the likeliness of a third marriage working out for me is, like, significantly low. And I'm like, great. That's promising. But at the same time, I've never been one to follow statistics because I've always beat them.
Well, it depends on what you've learned. And it also depends upon... where you are in your aging.
Well, I got pregnant in high school and I graduated and then I went to college for 6 years. And granted, I did have a husband to help me pay for my shit to get through it. I was also working my ass off. Yeah. And that was the statistical odd that I beat right there. And I wasn't supposed to be born. Remember, you weren't allowed to have, you were, like they said, your chances of having a kid were pretty low. Mm-hmm. So that was a win. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to, like, I feel like each phase of your life and the relationships that come into your life are there for a certain point in time and purpose. And it's interesting when you look at astrology because you can see, like, based on the length of time that the relationship lasts. Like if it's 27 years, it's usually Saturn. If it's like 19 years, it's usually the North Node, South Node cycle going all the way around the ecliptic plane on the zodiac wheel. If it's 14 years, it's generally Jupiter, which so you can see the planet that's very powerful in that chart and what triggers things like a domino effect. And right now I'm going through my nodal return. And the craziest fucking part is that I've got Uranus with my North Node in my seventh house, meaning I was going to meet somebody out of the blue. It's on top of my vertex, so it's like a fated meeting. And his shit is so fucking lit. Like, I'm talking about Brandon, sorry. His shit is so lit. When I look at our chart, like, the vertex on the moon and things like that. Like there's just a lot of, I don't know if it's vertex of the moon, but I went through like four or five, almost seven different chart points where it was just like, this was an agreed upon union. This was like something where you guys are coming in to teach each other a major lesson and it's supposed to be a really transformative type of thing. But the beauty of astrology is that it's always a choice. So you can meet plenty of people that have the potential to be that. But if you decide not to pursue it, you can always choose a different avenue. Mm-hmm. It's like a piece of sheet music and you're the musician, mm-hmm. or rather maybe the conductor. Mm-hmm. You get to decide if the music's going to play or not.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the promising things of it, but I also haven't met him in person. So I'm like, I don't know. I told him I was squishy. I was like, dude, I know what to do, but like, I haven't fucking done anything in a long time.
What did he say then?
He was sweet. He was like, we'll just fucking do it together, man. Let's go. I was like, all right, let's go. He's like, I got a dad bod. I said, cool.
He's got a lot of kids.
Four kids isn't that much more than two. I mean, he's 38. I mean, this could be, I'm sorry, I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to say it. This could be why you didn't get remarried too. Because if you think four is a lot of kids for someone at 38, that's pretty unrealistic. Like, people are going to get married. They're going to have children. They're going to produce families. And at 38, they're going to have baggage.
Well, they might, yeah.
And I think children are great. I think the more the merrier, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like David had five fucking kids. He had twins. Yeah. So in my perspective, I already knocked one out. Only the difference is it's just a totally different set of kids.
Yeah.
Which is a weird way of saying it. So I take that back. Sorry.
No, it's okay.
But I mean, I don't know. If you want to sit and pick it apart, I suppose four is a lot.
Well, you know, it is. I mean, it's expensive. They're very expensive. We all know this.
Well, yeah, I am aware of that.
You know, and yet, you know, there's a lot of really good things from it too. So, you know, you have to balance that out.
There's more good than bad. And I'll always say this. I always said this, especially when Brent brought up Braylon. He was like, we're young. This is like our first kid. I don't know if we can afford this. We could barely afford Jake. And his mom looked at me and said, people figure out how to afford their kids. Because you don't have an option. You just fucking figure it out.
Right.
You have to.
Yeah.
There's not really, it's like saying, oh, well, Nana's going to go now. We're going to ship her off somewhere. And like, that doesn't work. You know, we don't get just to select family if they're too expensive, you know. I'm sorry. This doesn't fit in my budget. You're going to have to go now. Thank you. Bye-bye.
My mother works.
Spoken like a true Capricorn.
But you have to realize Aries, and my mother is Aries, okay?
Yeah.
Full-fledged Aries. And so she wanted everything the way she wanted it. Well, she still...
I have an Aries moon. I'm fully aware.
Stubborn daughter who is not that.
Yeah.
You know? And so I think that was what... You know,
well, you have a Sagittarius rising.
Yes, I do.
So that is where it comes from. You're very rebellious.
Oh, I am. And that's, you know, must have been terribly hard for her.
Well, your thumb-to-nose approach to life has gotten you a lot of cool places.
Yes,
but true. For a very traditional, set-in-her-ways woman, it was probably a little bit of a nightmare for Grandma for a minute.
Oh, yeah.
I think every mother has a daughter that keeps them up at night. And Braylon is getting to be a very beautiful young woman, even though these fucking kids keep calling her Megamind, and I swear to God, I'm going to fork their parents' lawn. I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to fork their lawn, or I'm going to teepee. There's going to be street justice, and you're coming with me because I need an accomplice. So I can claim that you were doing it and I was there to stop you.
And they're not going to throw
And then
me
when
in
they
jail,
try to put you in jail, I'll be like, well, she has Alzheimer's and I was here to protect her.
That's right. So this is how it works.
This is my get out of jail free card. Yeah. Okay. We're going to go fork the lawn and get street justice because these kids got to learn. You got to figure it out. Somebody is getting their lawn forked, and they're going to have to pick every single one of those forks out.
So help me God. I really hope that if you get married again, that you really make sure that you've got a lot of power in that.
Well, it's not about power. Well, it's not about power. It's about communication and understanding.
Yeah.
And also being on the same wavelength as far as growth goes, because my first marriage was a fucking disaster. I just married him because I was pregnant and scared.
Yeah.
I'm grateful that my second marriage was a choice and it lasted as long as it did. And it was beautiful. Yeah. And it produced a great little girl and a lot of happy memories for both my children. But we also outgrew each other in that time frame. And since Jupiter is the teacher... You know, there was a time in our life where we were perfect. Let it out. Let it flow.
Okay, I'm letting
let it flow. If you suppress it, it'll just keep coming back. You gotta let that out. It's like a fart. You gotta walk away, let it flow, then come back. But yeah, like we taught each other a lot. I taught him a lot about unconditional love.
Yeah.
Because I'd always come back, you know, because I wanted that family unit bad. And he taught me a lot about patience and also just like the kind of love that I want to accept, like what kind of love am I willing to accept and what do I want in a partner? Because he was pretty steadfast and consistent.
Yeah.
And so those are qualities that you want, like, in a partner for sure. And it's something that I was looking for, and I ended up finding Sam, and that was a fucking disaster. But, God, I'm so glad I made it out of that.
Ugh. I would have gone in there and fucking
And I swear, I thought, I really did think that David was a thing.
Yeah.
But I think because I got these little flashbacks, is like this sprinkle of a memory where I recognized, oh, hey, you've been over-idealizing this fucking person.
Yeah.
And I was kind of, like, staying up late the night prior to me talking to Brandon, and I was, like, kind of, like, mulling it over. Like, there are certain times where you have to ask yourself, am I, like, a little delusional right now? Did I step into DeLulu land?
Yeah, right.
Because sometimes there's a tendency to over-idealize or romanticize a partner.
Yeah.
Especially if they're not fucking there. Yeah. You know, like, you can create a picture.
Well, you can do a lot
and you can see whatever you want to see. That's heavy-ass Neptune. And there were a lot of Neptune placements for him and I. And I was, like, wondering, a lot of Uranus placements, which is sporadic, which fits the bill. I mean, we've been in and out for 5 years. So I've been waiting for this dude that's never going to show up who I over-idealized. And I fucking realized this the other day because I took the rose-colored glasses off. Like, I was like, yo, I like being single. Uh-huh. So if anybody comes to my table with any type of drama and bullshit or they're taking away from my life, I'm going to walk away because I just don't have time for it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in wasting time because I actually legitimately want a partner.
Yeah.
Like, I want somebody that I can spend my fucking time with and enjoy my life with.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know. It was an interesting night of just kind of tossing and turning and mulling it over.
Well, it's understandable. It takes time.
Well, and I think I stayed up too late just kind of fixating on it and wondering, like, I was, like, reading through old messages and trying to understand, like, maybe I'm not seeing him for who he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And then when I woke up late and then Brandon showed up, I was like, whoa. Okay, some random dudes in my DMs, cool. And then, like, I kept scooting along, you know.
Yeah.
But I remembered, because when I clicked on his thing, I realized, oh, this is the guy with the psychic thing. And then I was like, oh, yeah, the guy with the eyes. And I was like, oh, he's cute. I remember that one. As I had added him, because I saw his thing, and I was like, oh, he's cute. And it was sort of a done deal. And then I realized, I was like, okay, now I'm just chatting with this guy 24/7. I don't think I'm going to make it, because I told him, I was like, dude, I'm so busy this week. I have the bank and this and that. And I could probably squeeze in a date. But, like, I wanted to take my time talking to him, because in the past I would go on dates with people and, like, it'd be too fast, you know?
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm just going to take my time. But with Alan, it was like, we fucking talked for so long and it was a huge waste of time. And I was like, well, I don't want to do that again. So there is, it's like a balance of when, like, how long do you talk to when do you actually go on the date? Because we can go on the date. We could have all these awesome chart aspects and then also decide that we don't want to pursue it because, like, for whatever reason, you know,
yeah.
Like maybe he meets me and he doesn't like the way that I smack my lips or something. I don't know. You can meet somebody and then just be like, oh, God, you know, his neck is way too long. Or like what Braylon said one night, she was telling me about this little boy that she had a crush on. And she was like in love with this kid for fucking months. Like it was every day. I won't say his name because I don't want to give it away. But
yeah.
She would go on and on about him every morning. Oh, my God, I hope he's there. And like he had finally came around. And as soon as he came around, and he told her that he liked her and they were going to be boyfriend-girlfriend. She went to school the next day and he was wearing – he always wore turtlenecks, I guess, during the winter. And then he was wearing a V-neck shirt. And she saw his neck and then she turned around and she stopped talking to him completely. Like, she was like – she came home and she was like, I don't like him anymore. He didn't wear a turtleneck today and his neck is too long. And then another kid accidentally farted in line in front of her, and she was, like, totally grossed out. And she was like, I've never talked to him again. Fuck that guy. And I was like, Braylon, you can't.
Relax,
but I also want her to be selective. Like, it's not a bad quality. Like, I think it would be incredibly smart for me to keep perpetuating that she could be a little bit more picky.
Because
there was a lot less vetting
in
my dating history, so... I'm glad to see she's doing it so well. It could have a lot to do with the fact that her dad treats her like a fucking queen. It was so cute. She told me this morning that he was sitting on her bed while she was getting ready.
Uh-huh.
And he was, like, sitting there watching her get ready. And he was, like, eating an apple.
Uh-huh.
But he did this thing, like, I know exactly what she's talking about. Because he would always do this crap where he would sit and he would stare. And he'd get this dumbass look on his face. And I'd be looking at him like, what are you doing? Because he'd watch me do my hair and my makeup, right? Because it is kind of fascinating to watch people do that.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know why. It's probably because I spent my entire life watching you do it.
It's probably.
So then when it was my turn to become the artist, I was quite the little artist.
Yes,
and Braylon is the same fucking way. Only she likes the natural approach. Which I can appreciate as well. I think that's great. A lot less money on product. And so he was sitting there eating an apple. Like she said, he was like flopping the apple around in his mouth, like with the stare on his face. And I knew exactly what she was talking about because he had done that so many times to me. And I was always like so like bewildered. I was like, what is he fucking thinking? Like, what is he doing? And I realized later on that he's just like, he's literally just a spectator at that moment.
Uh-huh.
And then she said that his eyes started to get a little watery.
Uh-huh.
And I realized he was probably having that moment where he was looking at her because she came out to the car and she looked fucking gorgeous. And I was like, oh, he just realized that she's not a little girl anymore. That was like his moment. And he got all teary-eyed. And I love that. I think that's so fucking sweet. Say what you will about Brett. He's a good dad. And I was like, yo, that's cute. I'm glad I got to witness that or at least hear about it.
Yeah, that's good.
But he treats her like a queen. And I think that she's going to expect her dude to show up and be consistent like her dad was. Like, yeah. He always made it happen. When Brad served us with fucking custody papers and I was working, we were literally trying to buy a house. We had just put money down to try and get a house. And, like, it was so fucking hard because we had to decide, like, okay, I guess we're going to fucking keep our kid. Like, so let's go get a lawyer instead and ask family for money because that's where we're at. And for 2 years, I didn't have a paycheck. Every fucking paycheck I had went to court. Mm-hmm. And he showed up every fucking time. I would fall apart some days and he would hold me and tell me it was going to be okay. And she saw that, you know, when she was little, she got to see that. So I'm glad, regardless of everything that had happened between him and I'm glad that she got to see certain parts of our marriage that I want her to bring into her own.
Yeah.
Maybe not the passionate fighting.
Yeah, you don't want to, you want to kind of keep that low. That's hard for kids.
Well, it's hard for me in general because I have there's an aspect, it's Mars Pluto.
Yeah.
And it's in my first house of Scorpio.
I think mine is too, because that really was a problem for me, I think.
I'll have to look at your chart and I'll tell you next time. Yeah. Because I have your birth certificate and I know I did your chart already, but I can't remember your Mars placement. Uh-huh. Because that's one of the things that Joel told me when we first started is she was like, my mentor, sorry. Uh-huh. She would tell me, you can pay all the money you want to get readings, but the best readings that you'll ever get in your life, the most you'll ever understand about yourself is when you do them yourself. Mm-hmm. So if you have that intense desire to understand a side of you that you can't unlock, if you're trying to unravel your psyche, which I have a lot of placements underneath the horizon, which means I have a lot of subconscious shit that is deep in there. Mm-hmm. And I have to, like, it's kind of like pulling out toys from a toy box. Mm-hmm. And, like, organizing them because there's so much shit all conglomerated, you know, just, like, mixed together. Mm-hmm. So in order to figure out what you've got, you got to pull everything out. And that's a process.
It is.
It's a psychological process. It's a healing process. It's a living process. Like, it takes time, and I'm finally getting to that place, but I've utilized astrology as a tool to do that. And the Mars-Pluto placement in my relationships, anytime I'm dating somebody that's about the same age as me, I don't know what it is. It's just a very addictive, obsessive thing because of that placement. The Mars-Pluto placement is very prominent. So if there's any personal planets touching that, like Brent had his Venus on mine, and this guy has his moon and his Pluto, so it's like double intense. And that's why, like, I think it's so magnetizing because I'm such a heavy Pluto person anyway. Mm-hmm. And I can see it. Like, his fucking Pluto is in the first house. This dude is powerful. Like, he's so, and he's super psychic, which is really cool. And it's all underneath the horizon. So I was like, yeah, we got the same thing. But, Joel was telling me that. She was like, yo, the best thing that you'll ever see is with the Mars-Pluto placement because it's, like, the best passion. But she said, you got to be prepared for battle. Like, you don't want to go in there with a dude that doesn't know himself, that doesn't understand his own power.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be threatened by yours because you're the type of bitch that walks in a room and people either love you, hate you. Like, what is it I used to tell Lisa? Oh, I used to say, I walk into a room and people either want to fight me, fuck me, or run away. Like, it's just like a very, like, insane energy to possess as a person, especially if you have it with the South Node. It's like the heaviest fucking placement on my chart, dude. So when people say, oh, you're a Sagittarius, I'm like, yeah, okay. Okay. My daughter's Scorpio moon says otherwise. Like, even my dog had a Scorpio moon. So when this dude, and David had a Scorpio moon. Uh-huh. So when this dude rolled in, and I was like, of course you have a Scorpio moon. And it's right on my Pluto. I was like, oh, buckle up. Here it is. But he lives in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I did a lot of vetting. Like, I put him on that website I told you about. Mm-hmm. It's that group. It's not a website. It's like a group. Mm-hmm. And it's like where women will ask, hey, is this guy abusive? Or I'm about to go on a date with this guy. Does anyone have any red flags that I need to know about? Please tell me. Because it's a group designed to keep women safe.
I think that's a good idea, actually.
It is, but it could also be utilized as a tool for women who have malicious intent.
Yes.
And so the rules of the group are that you keep the details very minimal so it doesn't impact their career or anything like that.
Yeah.
And that you just get the bare information that you need to know and you get out. You're not allowed to make comments on their appearance. You're not allowed to make comments on... You're not allowed to talk shit or be negative. It has to be something very straight to the point. Like, hey, if you're sharing a negative experience, like, hey, this guy tried to rape me. Yeah, that happened. Sorry. If he wanted a better story, maybe he should try to be a little less rapey. You know, like, girls are going to talk. And so he didn't have any red flags. And every chick that ever, like, commented on it, they were like, oh, my God, he's so nice. Like, I wish I had dated him. Because I was dating this friend and I was like, ugh, this guy is not as cool as that guy. And I was like, oh, cool. So I felt pretty positive about my vetting process because then I also did a background check. Mm-hmm. There was nothing. He was like, I think he said something about stealing a camera in high school. And he like went to holding cell and he got in so much trouble. And I was like, okay, that's like the tiniest offense. Mm-hmm. I think Sam went to prison 4 times, so you're doing okay. Brent used to steal DVDs from fucking Fred Meyer. They used to call him the garbage bag man because he would go through the store and just put shit he wanted in a garbage bag and then take it out to go throw it out. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody called him on it. Nobody called him on it, and then he got fired for it. But for a while, he had a little bit of a racket there, and he had a shit ton of DVDs. Back when DVDs were a thing, like everybody had Blu-ray and remember when they came out with the Blu-ray TV and you and I were in like, I can't remember if we were in Best Buy or like Circuit City. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't start. It was like Transformers. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't stop staring at the screen because they just looked fake. It was so clear. Mm-hmm. The fact that you've gone through, as a boomer, you've gone through so much technology advancement. I have no idea how the fuck you've kept up. And the fact that you're active on social media and you do podcasts with your daughter. You're fucking badass. That's cool. You got a whole thing. You even have a TikTok. You're cool. Whatever, man. You're cool. You got a social media babe and daughter, but you started it. It's cool. It's cool.
So I can get some guy. Draw him in. Yeah,
oh.
I do that all the time.
I don't know. I think your DMs are popping, man. You got a lot of dudes in your DMs. That's cute.
That's cute.
But yeah, I was thinking about this guy reminds me of B Squared, because B Squared was Italian and Mexican. Uh-huh. And he was the bodybuilder that helped me figure out weightlifting and got me into wanting to do like competitions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I loved his family because his mother was she embraced mm-hmm. traditional values and she would make, like, the best fucking food. And when I went down there and we were looking for apartments, mm-hmm. I got to spend time with them. And I was so in love. Like, I was so in love. And so it was so devastating when that ended. Yeah. And I was grateful because at least when I asked him, I said, like, you don't say I love you anymore. Like, you haven't said it in a couple weeks. And I keep wondering why. Like, do you even love me anymore? And he didn't say anything. And so I said, well, then I'm going to find someone that does. Mm-hmm. And I just hung up on him. And I found out later that he had gotten back together with his ex-girlfriend. And that's what it was really about. Because mm-hmm. I have my motherfucking ways. I hacked his shit so good. I did. I had his shit hacked pretty well. And I didn't tell him that, but that's what I understood. I realized, oh, he got back together with Julie. Like, that's what it was. And so then he called me a couple months after me and Brent were like super in love and Brent was practically living here. And he called me and he was a fucking mess because of course Julie left him because that's what she does. Like, she always left him and he would always run back to her. And he explained that to me many times. Like, this is like my kryptonite person. Like, I can't get away from her. And he came running back and he was like, I've made a mistake. I miss you and Jake. I want to come back. Can we please work this out? Like, I miss you. And I said, just because shit did not work out with Julie does not mean you get to run back to me and fuck up shit with this guy that I'm falling in love with. Like, I'm sorry for you, my dude. Like, I actually care about you as a friend. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're not doing the world a service by playing victim anymore. Mm-hmm. And when I told him that, he got really fucking offended because he was talking about killing himself and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you are, if you kill yourself, Brad, you are going to be wasting an amazing gift that you have to transform people's lives. You transformed my life. You made me fall in love with being healthy and active. And you made me take control over myself in a position of power that I had taken from me. Mm-hmm. So I found myself in that relationship. And while it was still temporary, mm-hmm. we both walked away because he ended up taking my advice. And he fell in love, and now he's married to a beautiful woman named Verity. And they live somewhere in the Midwest, and they got a cute little kid that looks just like him. And I'm so happy to see it. Mm-hmm. And I ended up, like, thinking that over. And for some reason, all that stuff came up when I was looking at pictures of Brandon. And I was like, weird. Like, because Brent was really threatened by Brad. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, my God, this dude is so fucking fine. He was like, you dated that guy? And I was like, yeah, of course I did. Who the fuck wouldn't? He was like, oh my God. And he wants you back? And you chose me? And I said, yeah, because I'm in love with you. Of course I chose you. Like, what the fuck? I can get you a six pack. I know how to train you. He was like, rude. And I was like, I know, I'm just kidding. I don't need you to have a six pack. It's fine.
And yet you were.
He never had a six pack and I never needed it because I really don't feel like that's necessary. But I did really have a problem with the amount of, he was very like, his Pluto was like trying to own and possess because he didn't use that power for good. Like he had the perception that the world lacked abundance. Mm-hmm. So when he found something good, he would covet it and pull it in and keep it to himself. That's what he did to me, and I'm saying that that's what he's doing to Kayla a little bit, but not so much in, like, a negative sense that it's hindering now because I think he's grown a lot, but for me at the time, it felt really stagnant, mm-hmm. and I wasn't able to be, like, as mobile, and we never went out for hikes, or I think when I was really depressed, he actually pulled me out for a walk, which was great, but outside of that type of shit, we didn't have an active lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that's because Pluto has a tendency that energy is really, if you don't understand your power, mm-hmm. it'll fucking consume you. It'll really consume you. It'll make you really obsessive. And it's like really, it can be deep. And so I like to see when people take control of their power and then they utilize it and push it outward. And they're not trying to pull you down.
Right.
And it's not about that. Yeah. It has nothing to be that, like, Brent pushed me up all the time. Mm-hmm. Half the reason why I was successful in school and work and everything is because he propelled me to work harder. But at the same time, I felt limited in my ability to explore and to be physically active because I was so busy running around trying to keep up with the house and everything that I knew I had to check off the fucking list that I wasn't able to really be myself to the fullest extent or grow at the rate that I needed to. And I think that became a problem in time.
Yeah.
And so I'm happy to see that he's growing a lot. I think our time was perfect because it allowed me to understand my own shortcomings, especially when I fucked it up the way I did toward the end as well. And the nice part is that we shared a text a couple of months ago where I just apologized to him and I said, you know, I'm really sorry. Like, I understand now that it wasn't all you.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I wanted to believe that, though, because I was trying to feed my addiction. Like, the addict in me that wanted to continue drinking mm-hmm. really had an issue with the whole situation. And I used that as an opportunity to continue drinking, as an excuse to continue drinking, and to almost exacerbate the problem. Like, oh, now I have a reason to drink because I'm going through a divorce, or I'm stressed out. And the reality is I was just an addict trying to increase my usage. Like, I didn't see that, but it definitely took the advantage of it.
It took you some time to sort it
out. I had to get the shit kicked out of me by Sam to really get it. Like, when I recognized that he was always a safe space, like, Brent was never unsafe, and that's something I'm grateful for. Mm-hmm. He was always a safe space with regard to physical safety mm-hmm. and emotional security. And so that's a really great quality to have in a partner.
Yeah.
But there were other things that I didn't appreciate and things that I really didn't appreciate. And when I got with Sam, all the things I didn't appreciate about Brett, I realized were not so fucking bad.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm thinking he's going to bury me under a fucking tree. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die. I made a sacred pact to God that night, and I got the fuck out of there. And I never went back, and I'm so eternally grateful that I got free.
Because I knew that he was nothing but trouble.
It was a big deal. It was a big deal. It was a moment where I... Well, and it was my sister. It was Lainey, really, that pulled me out of that. Like, she really called me on my shit. And it was toward the end when I was with Sam. Mm-hmm. And I was placating to this whole concept of, like, oh, well, he'll get clean and then we'll be happy and blah, blah, blah. And my sister sent me a message. And she was like, I'm so disappointed in you. And when Lainey says that, like, it cuts because I care about what she thinks.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm so disappointed that this is what your life has become and that you're really, like, willing to throw away everything for this person who treats you like shit and that you're drinking and that you've given up your job and you've given up your fucking everything for this person in this toxic situation. And she said, like, when you decide that you're done being the fucking problem and you're done being the victim, you can call me. But until then, stay the fuck out of my life. And I realized I called you crying and I made this huge fucking deal. I called my friend Carol crying. And of course, they did that thing where you play the victim for a minute because it is like a little bit of narcissistic tendency. So I get that, especially if you've been around them enough, you have a tendency to pick up their shit.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh my God. I am the fucking problem. Every time I think that I've reached that level of growth, I'm like, fuck my life right now. Oh, shit. I just realized I didn't tell him I was making a podcast. Oh, no. He thinks I've been blowing him off for like 40 minutes. Just a sec.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Oh, he messaged me. I just forgot to tell. Hold on.
Maybe he won't answer.
No, I'm just texting him. He's so fucking attentive, dude. That's, like, that's the thing that I really, because I am not used to that.
Yeah.
Very attentive. And it's cool because his life path is number two and mine's number one. Mm-hmm. And so it works in perfect harmony because the sun is represented by number one and the moon is represented by number two. Mm-hmm. And so they're opposite, but if they work in unity and they work with solid communication, it can be a good match. But the twos are really romantic and, like, they're very partner-oriented. Like, they're very loving and mm-hmm. and that's everything that he's proclaimed to be and anything that I can see in his chart. And also from what I read online when I was doing that research project on him in that group and I was trying to figure out, is this guy a psychopath? Am I going to end up in a million pieces thrown off the Burnside Bridge? Like, I got to know.
Yeah.
And I was grateful to see, okay, number one, he's not a physical threat. And number two, he's not a mental, emotional threat either. Like, he could actually be a good person to talk to. Mm-hmm. And so I was pleasantly surprised by this. This really caught me out of left field. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think we should go to Guinevere tomorrow morning. Let's start getting that going because I want to start working out with you.
Well, that'd be good.
Yeah, I think it'll help. Fine. I think it'll help a lot.
Yeah, it will. Probably.
We'll get the ball rolling early in the morning.
Yeah, it'll be okay.
But thanks for listening and chatting with me about it.
I'm glad.
I wanted to share this thing.
Conversations.
Yeah, I think it's important to share these moments. But
yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I'm obviously really excited about this one.
I've seen you go through really good ones and really bad ones.
Well, that's the point, you know.
Yeah.
you don't appreciate the good ones until you've seen the worst.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's true. Like, it's, when I got with Sam, I was like, whoa, Brett was not so bad. Now that I'm with nobody, I'm recognizing how much he did for me, and I can acknowledge, okay, I really didn't pick up the reins there, and I was oblivious to it.
Yeah.
And so I can appreciate that, and I was able to thank him. Mm-hmm. And we both came to the conclusion that it was just something that ran its course.
Yeah.
And that we both played our parts, and that it wasn't either one of ourselves' faults. And I was grateful for that we had, because at the end of it, it was just ghosting, you know, and yeah. I was devastated. It was fucking traumatic.
Yeah.
So, but to be honest, I don't know if it would have ended either way. If we had not gone no contact, I don't think it would have ever truly ended. So that's something to consider. Mm-hmm. Like some relationships, if they're powerful enough, you have to walk away and not speak for a while. Because it's just too deep, you know. It almost feels like you're losing a limb.
And that's how I felt with Jim.
With Jim, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can imagine. I mean, because you guys were together for how long? 7 years? 8 years?
Five.
And then you guys built a house together.
Yep.
You supported him on his forestry career.
And then when I wanted to go to school.
And then when the tables turned, it was over, yeah.
Yep.
Well, I mean, he's still living in a hut somewhere in Alaska, so.
No, he's got a house in Fairbanks.
He does?
Yeah.
Huh? He joined civilization again.
Yeah, he did. That's good. Amazing. Of course, you know, everything really kind of revolved around him, always.
Well, that's something that somebody told me, too, with
spoiled.
The...
Really spoiled.
Well, like, that one woman on the bus that told me, because I was telling her about how Sam stole my car and came back with all this stolen shit.
Oh, yeah.
And I was, like, fucking devastated. Like, I opened my trunk and I was like, what the fuck is in my trunk? Like, why is all this shit in here? Where did it come from? And I was like, I am going to jail. I'm accessory to a crime. Like, I'm panicking, you know.
Well, yeah.
But, and I just turned it in to the police. Good. I just said I found all this stuff and I don't know who it belongs to. Because I didn't want any fucking part in that.
No,
and I said, what was it? I was telling her about it because I was asking advice. I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah.
And she said, honey, I'm going to tell you something because you're really smart and you're really beautiful and you're super, like, fun, okay? You are not a side act. You're a main event. And if you are going to be with this guy for the rest of your life, you will always be the sideshow. You will never be first place. He will always be center stage and everything will revolve around him. And you don't deserve that life. Nope. And I'm glad that you walked away from Jim because you wrote your own fucking story.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I realized, hey, you know, I don't mind putting in 5 years of my life to build his cabin.
Yeah, but the give back has to come.
Yeah, and I was ready to do that. It was time for
the give and the take. It has to happen.
And so
yeah.
What does he do? He says, oh, no, 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 you have to give everything up.
Yeah.
I want it this way, and this is the way it is. And I said, wait a minute. We just built a freaking house for each other, and you're not going to help me with school?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you're like, dude, I literally built your fucking house.
Yeah. Like,
you need
house.
To help me while I go to school. And he wasn't willing to do that at all. Yeah.
That's when I realized this is a very selfish person. And he's going to be this way for a long time. And I cannot change him. He does not love me enough to do that. He did that later with another woman. However, after 10 years, she said, bye-bye.
Yeah.
I'm done with it.
Well, yeah.
And you know why? Because... it's always about what he wanted, okay?
I think that might have served as validation for you at that time that you made the right decision.
Oh, I did.
Because ultimately, your career in Multnomah County led to serving a countless mothers and children.
Yeah.
And you really put them onto successful life paths. You have women that are nurses, fucking teachers.
Oh, yeah.
They still talk about you.
Yeah.
And they still ask about you. I have many people message me often about you that want to make sure you're doing okay.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, and you should know that. I tell you, but sometimes you forget, and that's okay.
Forget.
But, like, it is
I don't know how they
on days.
Got a hold of your phone.
Oh, well, because I'm on your Facebook.
Oh,
and they
I
all
see.
Look you up because they know your fucking name, which is why I put you on social media because I know that people are going to find you at some point.
Yeah. true.
And I think that's important because yeah. your memory and your contribution to the community was so valuable. And I don't think that if you had stayed with Jim, you would have been able to do that.
Oh, no.
You wouldn't have had me. You wouldn't have been a mother. It would have been all about him.
Yeah.
And if you did have his children, it would be all about his children and him.
Right.
And that wasn't the role that you were destined to play in this right. life. You were going to live your own fucking life. You got your own house.
Yeah.
You built a really beautiful garden.
Yeah.
You made the house. This house is so beautiful. This is a beautiful house. Like, I see now. Like, it got disheveled toward the last couple years because of the everything else. But but before, like, when I'm really getting down to the bones of it, like, you have beautiful taste. And it's a lovely home. And it's been really great sharing this with you, you know. And, like, stripping it down and simplifying it to the beauty that it is.
Yeah. And you know, it took me a while because I love Jim a great deal.
Oh, I remember hearing about him when I was growing up because my dad was, he had a purpose in your life too. Mm-hmm. That was a temporary purpose. He gave you a daughter and he invited you into the butterfly tribe and he helped you heal some things deep down. And he also uncovered some deep stuff that needed to be addressed. Yeah. And I think that's cool. Mm-hmm. But he also wasn't the long-term story. And so it's kind of neat, like different chapters of the people that you fall in love with. Mm-hmm. That's the thing about it is that certain stories deserve better endings, mm-hmm. you know, especially if it was really beautiful.
Yeah.
It's kind of like watching a gorgeous film and being like, literally, why would they possibly end it like that? Like, that's so ugly.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful that at least in some of my stories, even if they ended ugly, there was some level of, like, conclusion to it. You know, like, even if I didn't get the ultimate closure, I would still, like, when B-Squared came back, like, I was devastated at first. And then I realized, like, it doesn't matter because you can't make people stay if they don't want to be there.
No.
You can do everything right and it won't fucking matter. If they're going to choose someone else, they're going to choose someone else. And that's fine
because
it's not your place to tell them what to do. They're not yours. People are only in your life. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
That's a hard one to stomach, though, especially if you're heavy Pluto.
I really had a hard time, but I realized that for myself, you know, when I looked back and I said, you know, hey, I wanted to have a child and I wanted to have a house and I wanted to have things like that. But he only wanted it on his level.
Yeah. Well, on his terms.
On his terms. Everything was fine if it was on his terms. But the minute I said, no, I want to do it this way, we can still do this together. You can, you know, live in Fairbanks for a little while, make some money, and we can build a house there. We have a house already out there. You know, everything's cool. But you got to help me with going back to school because that's what I need to do. And he was like, oh, no, you have to do everything I want you to do. And I was like, this is not working.
Well, and I wouldn't expect you to ever have to confine yourself to being someone's.
No way.
I mean, you're not like a runner up, you know. You've always had that power inside of you to be the main event.
Yeah, I think so.
And I just can't see you taking that role. Mm-mm. I mean, you literally taught me to go hiking in in the Grand Canyon, or where was it that we would go?
Mm-hmm.
What desert?
Sedona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We went hiking in Sedona. I caught tadpoles in Ojai, California. I learned how to surf in La Jolla. Yeah. Or I body surfed in La Jolla. I learned how to surf in Seaside. I went skiing on Mount Hood. Like, all these beautiful.
Everybody kept telling me, oh, it's going to be really hard for you because you're going to have a child all by yourself.
Oh, we fucking rolled with it, man.
Yeah, we did.
I remember flipping a coin and we were like, Arizona or California? We're like, where are we going next? Let's do this. And, like, it was fun. I still remember when you worked on Halloween and I fucking. Oh, I love it. He's so cute.
Good.
He's so cute. I'm sorry. I have to stop.
Oh,
I'm so Twitter painted and stupid. I remember when you were working on Halloween and I was so devastated that we missed Halloween because nobody fucking told me.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next, because I really didn't know. Like, even at my daycare, they didn't do anything with Halloween. Mm-hmm. So you took me out the day after Halloween.
Mm-hmm. I did.
And it was so cute because everybody was so confused, but they were all like, I think somebody gave us like a can of peaches.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
They were like, I don't have any candy, but you deserve something because you are so pretty. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. My mom made this dress. It was so, I'm a princess. I was peach princess with silver puffy. You made me like a peach sequin princess dress with like silver puffy sleeves. And I felt like the fucking belle of the ball.
Oh, that's good.
And it was fun. I have great memories with you.
That's good.
You had friends that were insane and had like cavern tape. Like, remember that guy, what, Stoney?
Yeah.
Stoney had that fucking cool ass structure he built under a cave.
I know.
And like, it was like the fortress, the playground, like just to go play in nature's playground. It was so cool. Mm-hmm. And then you had George, the llama man.
Oh, I know.
And then you got Thea, this fucking amazing private investigator who's like, writing the news and cracking on cases. I fucking love that woman. And it was so cool watching her be.
She is.
I can't remember what the name of her PI service was, but it was cool.
Oh, yeah. She did a lot of.
And then you had Rita and even the Myers for a while, mm-hmm. but we're getting, we're just running down memory lane. Today he went to go see his grandmother mm-hmm. for 80th birthday. Mm-hmm. I think we have like 5 minutes left. He went to go see his grandmother for her 80th birthday. Mm-hmm. And he was telling me about how she was like a mother to him mm-hmm. and how she raised all of them and like helped raise all of them while his parents were working. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh my God, Top Ramen after school, like that type of shit. And he's like, God, I grew up in these apartments. And I was like, oh dude, I grew up in the Crystal Springs apartments. Or was it Crystal Lake?
Crystal.
Yeah, it was Crystal Lake. Crystal Lake. Shit, I should have told him that. I think Crystal Springs is across the street.
I think it was.
Yeah. I have to tell him that. Oh my God, I was so stupid.
It
wasn't
a spring,
it's a lake, yeah. Lake. Oh God, I'm so bad at this. I set him on the wrong path.
That's all right.
Whatever. And so he went down there, but he did actually, he took his kids down to Waldorf, which is my old junior high.
Yeah.
And they wanted to go, they went out for like killer burgers, and then they wanted to go to Westmoreland. And either way, mm-hmm. it would have been a place in my childhood. And I told him, I was like, dude, that's so weird. I think it's cute that the same afternoon you're revisiting your childhood, you also went through mine. Mm-hmm. Like, he was sending me pictures of him and his kids playing basketball. And I was like, dude, that's where I jumped my first hurdle. Like, I remember biffing it at a track meet and then, like, getting my coach to try and get me to jump over another one. And I had developed this phobia of fucking face planting. Like, I didn't even actually fall. It was Sierra that fell. Mm-hmm. And because she fell and I fucking saw it, I was mortified because it became reality for me. And I was like, oh my God, we can fall doing this? Never occurred to me. Not once. And I was like, oh my God. But it was just a cute. There's a lot of synchronized things. His number is 7. Mm-hmm. My number is 777. Mm-hmm. Like, weird shit. He always sees 444 and mm-hmm. I don't know. Oh, he had like a psychic vision about totem poles a month ago. Okay. And like a shark and like a bunch of different things. Uh-huh. And I was like, dude, my tribe makes totem poles. Like, we're the double killer whale eagle clan and they make totem poles up in Metlakatla. Mm-hmm. He's like, that's so wild. And I was like, I know. I love it. That's tight. Okay, I'll stop now. I'm sorry.
That's good though. Good.
But yeah, I told him about David. I was like, oh my God, I was so butthurt. And then now my friends are asking me about David. And I'm like, David's out. That's canceled. Brandon's in. And they're like, oh my God. And he's like, who's David?
Well, they're
trying to keep up, dude. That shit happened like overnight. I have no idea this is coming. I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
I was literally just going to swear off dating because I was like, fuck it. I'll die old with cats. I don't care.
Like me.
Well, I love cats. You have family that loves you, though. You're not going to be alone. I love the shit out of you. I'll stalk you until you're dead. I'll probably climb in the coffin and see if they have room for
don't
me.
You like, dare do that.
There's like these TikToks where like the best friend standing over the other person's coffin.
Yeah.
And there's the funniest ones where like when they're like, bitch, move over. I'm not going without you. Like, they're like trying to get in with them. Well, but I can imagine, like, but I don't. You don't want to be buried, do you? You want to be cremated, right?
I want to be cremated.
I do too. I can't imagine being buried. Ugh. I'm too claustrophobic. I'd freak
too.
Out.
Yeah, I am too.
Oh, he sent me pictures. Okay, I gotta go. I'm gonna text this guy. He's so okay. cute. All right. Well, thanks for chatting, you guys. My mother has amazing wisdom. I just wanted to share these chats. So yeah, Brandon's in, David's out. What do they call clear the roster?
Yeah, definitely.
They're like, oh my God, you cleared the roster. Yes, I fucking did. Rightfully so, dude. Dude's so cute.
Good choice.
But we'll see because we haven't met. And chemistry's a thing, so we'll play that out. I don't know. We'll decide if we want to play the music, but if we do, it'll be pretty fucking cool. Mm-hmm. All right, love you guys. Have a good night. Bye.
Bye.